Good morning. Today's daf in Sota is Lamed. We're in Chav Tes Amud Beis. We're starting towards the top of the Amud. Thank the Masuth family for sponsorship on the entire Masechta Sota. Learning that we do is Lezecher Nishmas Nechemia Ben Avraham. Tanya, we're starting at the two dots. It's not two dots. It's one dot, but towards the top of the Amud, about a quarter of the way down, and Tumah Tahara. So for the vast majority of today's daf is going to be about Tumah Tahara. In fact, I'm probably going to stop on Lamed Beis at the two dots, so we're going to basically leave all of our comments today towards Tumah Tahara. And so on one hand, this is very basic. On the other hand, as basic as it is, it's challenging, right? Tumah Tahara doesn't have any applications nowadays, and for us, it's more abstract than it is practical. And so it's just areas that we're not as familiar with. But meanwhile, we do spend a lot of time here doing Tumah Tahara throughout Shas. The Gemara Pesachim at the end of the first parak, our dapim today. Yesterday, Chavtes and Lamed and Sota. So are some of the basics, the most basic points regarding Tumah Tahara and the transference of Tumah, the communication of Tumah from one to another. So, there are basic information, that's going to be gone over today. And as basic as the information is, on the other hand, it's going to be a little bit challenging. It's going to be a little bit difficult. So let us pick up where we left off yesterday. I'll give just a couple words of introduction. In other words, we could go on and on in terms of introduction. We're not going to. In other words, I'm assuming that you were here for yesterday and you caught it. And I'm also assuming that you have already a basic vocabulary knowledge base of Tumah Tahara. Otherwise, we could be here for a while just going over just the basic information. But meanwhile, what did we point out yesterday? What can a sheni do? So can a sheni make a shlishi by chulin? The answer is no. However, as definitively as I just said no, let's take the following into consideration. Number one, the shita Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that a sheni can make a shlishi even by chulin. Okay, that shita Rabbi Akiva we saw back in the Mishnah. Right? Rabbi Akiva darshan, the pasuk says yitma. Yitma means it becomes tameh. That is the pasuk describing what happens when you have a food in a kli cheres that is sharing also with a sheretz. So what's happening now is the sheretz is making the kli cheres a rishon. The kli cheres now is making the food inside of it a sheni. And Rabbi Akiva says, okay, not only that, but the pasuk says that the food becomes tameh, yitma. Rabbi Akiva says you could read it as yitameh, that the food now is going to go ahead and generate another tuma. In that pasuk is being described as a chulin. So that means to say now that according to Rabbi Akiva, a chulin can go from being a sheni, transferring it over to another food, making that other food a shlishi. That's the shita Rabbi Akiva. As we're going to go over in today's daf, there's going to be a tremendous pile on regarding the Tanaim that disagree with this position of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is a das yachid on this particular viewpoint. Fine. That is, but good. That's Rabbi Akiva, and what we get to do right now is table the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. We're going to come back to it later, but when I say come back to it later, only to show how many Tanaim disagree with that position. But put that position aside. The position, however, that we hold, that is a sheni doesn't make a shlishi. Good. Now, even as we say that, we also know that even though a sheni doesn't make a shlishi, but what a sheni can do is that if a sheni comes into contact with truma, the truma becomes pasul. Now, pasul is just another way of saying that the truma becomes tummy, but the usage of the word pasul indicates that that's it. End of the road. Meaning that truma now becomes tummy, but with the inability to go ahead and pass that truma on to other truma. Okay. So all that stated, how do we know that? Meaning, where is that coming from? So the answer is, this is what we went over yesterday. And it's coming to us via Kavachomer. The Gemara yesterday introduced us to a Kavachomer in which by putting together the Kavachomer yesterday was complicated. So I recommend to me, everybody, to go over yesterday's daf and go over the Kavachomer. How do we know that a sheni can make a shlishi puzzle by truma? So it's a Kavachomer. So for our purposes right now, we could just say it simply. And that is that it's not a pasuk. It's not a drasha. It's simply a kavachomer that tells us that a sheni can render truma a shlishi. Okay, that is all just a quick recap of what happened over the course of yesterday. Now we continue. We are on Chavtes Amud Beis. We are about a quarter of the way down with the words Tanya. So Tanya, I'm a Rabbi Yossi Menayin Levi B'Kodesh Apostle. So how do I know about Revi B'Kodesh? Meaning, so now we're going to extend this transmission of tuma, transference of tuma. So that one we're talking about Kodesh. Kodesh is referring to anything that is carbon. right? Meat of a carbon, mincha, anything that is carbon. So there, it is the higher level of kedusha makes it more sensitive to tuma, and it can even become a revi. So the Gemara says vidinu. The Gemara says, how do I know that? We're gonna use a kavachomer in order to generate this halacha. How does a kavachomer work? Ma mechusa kippurim. Now let's take a look at a mechusa kippurim. This is going to be the springboard of the kavachomer. Now mechusa kippurim is somebody who was tame and then already experienced a tvila, a herev shemesh. And now he's on the next day and he has to bring his karbanos in order for him to have achieved a full tahara. So, now at this point already, he already has gone through tefillah and Harav Shemesh. So, he can eat truma. Again, something that we all know. First Mishnah in Shas tells us that you have those two and now you're allowed to eat truma. And meanwhile, Pasuk B'Kodesh, but still, inhibited from eating karban, right? In other words, the whole point of him bringing the karbanos on the next day is so that he can eat karban. So, our Mechusi Kippurim, who is Mutar B'Truma B'Pasuk B'Kodesh, so what do we establish? Meaning, where is the springboard telling us? It's informing us that carbon has more kedusha and more sensitivity to tuma tahara than that of truma. And the Mechusa Kippurim does a fantastic job illustrating that. So shlishi, so now, if I take something which is a shlishi, which is possible truma, meaning a food which is a shlishi, which if that food were, let's say, for example, truma, so it's possible, meaning it's tame. But again, the word pasul means that's it. That's the end of the line. So, ein odin hu, shiyasu revi b'kodesh. Now, if that's true, so then it should make a revi b'kodesh. Now, the kavachomer is great, but the conclusion was a little bit excessive. Meaning, where are we going to go by kodesh? It's going to be a revi by kodesh. So the Gemara says, lamanu shlishi l'kodesh min ha-Torah. And revi mikavachomer. So you have to add on one other point, and that is that when it comes to kodesh, so, by the way, Kodesh, already we already know it takes us to a Shlishi. And that's Min HaTorah. Meaning, as far as the Torah is concerned, the Torah is actually going to give us a clear description of when you have a Karban, it can become a Shlishi. Now, again, by Chulin, again, we remember, take Rabbi Akiva's position. We put him on the back burner, right? Do not think right now about Shitas Rabbi Akiva. When it comes to Chulin can only extend to a Sheni. Now, Truma does, in fact, go to a Shlishi, but that's not based on Psukim, that's based on a Kavachomer. Now, when it comes to Karbanos, so its levels of Tumah takes us all the way to a Shlishi, that's Min HaTorah, the Psukim we're going to cite in just a moment. So once we already know that the limits of Tumah by a Karban is already a Shlishi, and the Kavachomer that we just learned together tells us that, you know, when it comes to carbon, the Kavachomer tells us that it goes even further. Well, if the starting point is already a shlishi, further is now going to be a revi. That's the Gemara's point. So lamanu shlishi l'kodesh min ha-Torah and revi mi Kavachomer. Now, shlishi l'kodesh min ha-Torah minalan. How do I know that when it comes to carbon, it goes to a shlishi? Dichsiv. So that, for that, we have a pasuk v'abasar. Asher yiga b'chol tamei lo ye'achel. The basar over here, being described in the psukim, this is the seventh parak of Vayikra. So the basar here is carbon, it's shlamim, and the when it comes to basar, she yiga b'chol tameh, when it comes to contact with tameh, and over here note b'chol tameh, any food that's tameh, so lo yechal, you're not allowed to eat it. So milo askina. So when we say kol tameh, so basically the Torah opens its door to anything that becomes tameh, and the limits of tumah. What are the limits of tumah? The limits of tumah are sheni. Again, from the Torah standpoint, the limits of tumah are sheni. And I'm a rechmana lo yeachel. So, and the Torah says lo yeachel. So that means to say that I have a sheni, and the sheni now is going to be making kodesh tameh, i.e. the kodesh now is going to be a shlishi. That is kodesh min ha-Torah. So kodesh min ha-Torah now already can get to a shlishi. And so now I have the kavachomer. So what am I going to do with my kavachomer? Extend it one more level. It's going to go one more darga, one more step. And that's revi mikavachomer kedamar, and that brings us to now kodesh can become a revi. Adkan, that takes us now to the end of the drusha of Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, you take yesterday's gemara, you take today's gemara. What do we now know? We now know that when it comes to food and it becoming tamei, so where is the end of the line? How many steps? How many levels of tumah can it go? So when it comes to chulin, the answer is two. Again, Rabbi Kiva's position. Put it aside for now. So the answer is two when it comes to chulin. And when it comes to truma, three. Where do I see that? It's not a pasuk in the Torah. It's a kav v'chomer. That's yesterday's daf. Complicated kav v'chomer, I'll add, but that's yesterday's daf. Then when we talk about karban, we have another kav v'chomer. But the kav v'chomer for karban is going to bring us to four. How is it going to bring us to four? Right? It's going to be a revi b'kodesh because we already know that when it comes to karban, it can become a three. It can become a shlishi l'toma. We had a pasuk that cites it. So now that we have a kav v'chomer and we already know that it starts with three, the kav v'chomer now is going to get us to four when it comes to karban. Good. Adkan, that takes us to the end, almost. Right. We'll put a little asterisk over here. Mm-hmm. Takes us to the end of the drashas of Chazal in terms of the most basic information of transmission of tumah. Sheni for chulin, shlishi for truma, revi for kodesh, that we knew. But yesterday in today's daf, we haven't even started today's daf yet, is giving us the necessary drushas to arrive us to that conclusion. Okay, this next part of the Gemara is, I admit, going to be a little bit complicated, because what the Gemara now is going to do is just a little bit of the pushback on the kav v'chomer, a challenge of the kav v'chomer. But basically, if you're following everything up until now, fantastic. Meaning that already is, that's really good in just in terms of really basic rudimentary information regarding Tumah Tahara.
The Kal V'Chomer on question is based on Truma, which itself is a Kal V'Chomer. You're allowed to have compound Kal V'Chomer.
Right, David's asking. Right, David's also complicating things, but that's good. In other words, the Mechusar Kippurim, the Kal V'Chomer that gets us to Revi is in fact built on what seemingly is already a Kal V'Chomer, and now we're adding on top of that. Okay, it's fair. It's such a fair point. Okay, now I'm Rabbi Yochanan Tamberibi and Yodemahu. So Rabbi Yochanan now. So what we have are everything we just said is Tanayim, and now just a small but difficult discussion amongst the Amorayim vis-a-vis. I don't understand that, and I want more clarity on that, and specifically the Shita Rabbi Yochanan. So Tamberibi and Yodemahu. So I don't understand Baribi. Baribi is the way that he describes Rav Yossi. It's a term of reverence. And that is that Rav Yochanan is saying, look, I'm hearing it, but I don't get it. Now, his not understanding and my not understanding are two different not understandings, right? I'm holding on for dear life. Meaning I understand enough. I'm, obviously able to articulate and explain. But in other words, when Rav Yochanan says, I don't understand, that's a totally different level of I don't understand. Meaning, I'm complicated by the fact that I know other information. Meaning, I'm looking at the Kal V'Chomer, but I also see the Pircha to the Kal V'Chomer. So let's say, Ochel Haba Machmas Tvul Yom, a Tvul Yom that comes into contact with food. Now, Tvul Yom, again, we all know, Tvul Yom is somebody who was Tami Tovel in the Mikvah and waiting for Harav Shemesh. Now, a Tvul Yom has residual Tuma. Okay, that part's clear. Meaning, there are steps for him to get to Tahara. He was Tameh, fully Tameh, and then he toveled in the mikvah, and now he's waiting for Harav Shemesh. At the point of Harav Shemesh, he's going to be Tar Lagamre. Now again, with the understanding that that's not always true, sometimes you're going to have to bring Karbonis the next day, in other words, you're going to be a Mechusar Kippurim, but for most of the time, you toveled in the mikvah in the afternoon, anytime during the day, really doesn't have to be the afternoon, you toveled in the mikvah during the day, you had experience Harav Shemesh, you're Tahor. So from the point of tefillah until Harav Shemesh, so you have residual tumah. And that term that we use to describe that is, you are a tvul yom. Now, what degree of tumah do you have? I'm going to hold that thought because it's machlokas. And by the way, I say machlokas, three opinions on this matter. Okay, so it's obviously, that in of itself is already a lot. But, ochel haba machmas tvul yom, so now I have food that was touched by tvul yom. And so that's going to be a pirch on the kav v'chomer. How so? So pasul b'truma and eino osa revi b'kodesh. So on one hand, it disqualifies truma and it doesn't make a revi b'kodesh. So now I'm hearing your kav v'chomer, but I'm looking at when a tvul yom touches something. So on one hand, it disqualifies truma, meaning it renders truma tameh. And it's not going to make a revi b'kodesh. And you're telling me that, you see, that when it comes to kodesh has more sensitivity than that of truma. I don't know. I'm looking at the tvul yom. It's not true. D'tanya, and Rav Yochanan says, and how do I know that that's true? Because of the following. Abishol Omer, tvul yom. So here we are now. This is the Braisa that goes over the various opinions regarding what degree of Tumah Tful Yom has. And again, three shitas on this matter. So we'll start off with the sheet of Abishal, Abishal, Amr Tful Yom. So Tchila Lekodesh Latami Shnayim B'Lifsal Echad. So what degree of Tumah does the Tful Yom have? According to Abishal, he starts at one, which means that if he's in the Beis HaMikdash and he's touching things, so now the food that he touches is a sheni, the food that after that is going to become a shlishi, the food after that is going to become a revi. And just to have familiarity with the language that Abishal uses, that Tchila Lekodesh, meaning he's a one, the Tful Yom, he's a Rishon, Latame Shnayim, he's going to go two steps after that, that Sheni Shlishi, and then Lifsol Achad, one more step after that, and that's going to be a Revi, right? You hear that language of Pusel? Pusel just simply means it's the end of the road. Mm-hmm. Good. So that's the Sheet of Abishal. Good. And Rabbi Meir Omer, Mitame Echad, Uposol Echad, and Rabbi Meir says that no, the Tful Yom is not going to be a Rishon. So the Tful Yom is rather going to be treated like as if we were looking at Truma, which is that basically it's a Sheni. And that Latame Echad, which means that what he touches is going to be a Shlishi, Uposel Echad, and then it's going to go one more step after that, meaning a Revi. Okay, but in other words, not a Rishon, but rather a Sheni. That's the Sheet of Rabbi Meir. And V'chachamim Omrim, so the Kishem Shaposo, Ochle Truma, Mashke Truma, Kach Poso, Ochle Kodesh, Mashke Kodesh. And according to the Sheet of the Chachamim, this is now going to be our third opinion regarding a Tful Yom. So the he's going to be a Poso Truma, he's going to be Poso on Kodesh. So in other words, it will be the end, whatever he comes into contact with is going to be Tame, but end of the road Tumah. End of the road Tumah regarding Truma, end of the road Tumah regarding Kodesh as well. Okay, so obviously, it is a complication. When asked the question, what is a Tful Yom? So under normal circumstances, my response is going to be, it's like a Sheni. But now, after having unpackaged the Braisa that we just went through, so now we all know there it's not a consensus. It's a Machlokas. There are three opinions on the matter. It's Abishal, it's Rabbi Meir, it's the Chachamim. Already that's a lot of information.
People couldn't be a Sheni.
Right, right. In other words, then the next level of the discussion over here is that this machlokas tanaim in terms of what is a Tful Yom, is that midoraisa or is that midorabanan? And it could very well be that this is all operating on a tumah derabanan level. Okay, but that's already next level. That's next level discussion. So the good. And so when Rav Yochanan now is trying to wrap his head around the kal v'chomer, Rav Yochanan says, I don't understand. I'm looking at the Tful Yom, and the Tful Yom seems to be treating Truma and Kachim on the same level. So Maskev L'Rav Papa, so now Rav Papa is challenging Rav Yochanan. Okay, if you see, by the way, this is obviously a really complicated piece of Gemara. We have a Kal V'Chomer offered by Rav Yossi the Tana. We have Rav Yochanan now challenging the Kal V'Chomer based on what he understands, based on the Machlokas regarding the Tful Yom. And now Rav Papa, so this is already a couple generations later, is going to go back and defend the Rabbi Yossi. So Maskov Rav Papa Mimai de Rabbi Yossi Karabban Sfirle de Makaba Shal Sfirle de Amar Latami Shtayim V'Lif Solechad. So Rav Papa says regarding Rav Yochanan's challenge, not a challenge. Why? Because you made the assumption that Abishal was holding like the Chachamim. Now, if that's true, then great point. Meaning, according to the Chachamim, Truma and Kachim are no different than one another. No more sensitive, Kachim is no more sensitive than that of Truma. And Echanami, you'd be right. But that may not be true. Meaning, Rav Yossi may not be holding the Chachamim, but rather, Rav Yossi is holding like Abishal. Abishal told us that what is a Tful Yom, according to Abishal, is a Rishon. Rishon rendering carbon that he touches to be Sheni, Shlishi, and Revi. Now, assuming that that's true, so fine. So you see already that Min HaTorah, again, I said Min HaTorah, but I'm not sure if I'm right about that, but let's just say, you see that according to Abishal, Kachim has more degrees, more levels of Tumah than that of Truma. Kal v'chomer reinstated. So Isa Kadacha Kabashal Sfirlei, Lacey LeRevi LeKodesh Me'ochush Abba Machmas Tful Yom, Uma Ochel Abba Machmas Tful Yom, the Tful Yom Gufei, Mutter B'chulin, Amart osa revi bekodesh ochel shlishi haba machmasheni desheni gufei osa bechulin einu din shosa revi bekodesh. So now the Gemara effectively says, okay, if in fact you're right that Rabbi Yossi holds like Abba Shaul, so then why didn't Rabbi Yossi just simply make his kavachomer based on a tvul yom? Meaning Rabbi Yossi made a kavachomer. Fine. But if you're saying that Rabbi Yossi holds like Abba Shaul in the arena of Tvul Yom, so then the Kavachomer could have been generated from Tvul Yom. And so the Gemara just leaves off of, it's a little bit strange. In other words, he has now not one but two Kavachomer opportunities, and why do you go with one over the other? Now, V'chi Tema, the Gemara says, and I know what you're going to suggest as a Gemara, we're on Lamed Amad Aleph. Second line down, V'chi Tema, Mishum Dikala Mifrach Malat Tvul Yom Shekein Avatuma. So, and maybe you'll tell me that, well, when it comes to a Tvul Yom, you know, that it can't serve as a Kavachomer source, because when a Tvul Yom is an Avatuma. Meaning, when I say Avatuma, meaning he certainly was an Avatuma before having Toveled in the Mikvah, and now is in the process of Tahara. But in other words, but he's an Avatuma. And when we're talking about Shlishi and Revi, clearly we're no longer in the world of Avatuma. All these are derivatives, not the Avatuma. That's not the source of Tuma. So the Gemara says, and so maybe I'm already guessing that's what you're going to tell me. V'chi tema, mishum dikla mifrach malat tful yom, shekein Avatuma, ha'isim m'chusa kippurim v'lo parche. Yeah, but you, Reb Yossi, so you elected to go with another Kavachomer. Do you know which Kavachomer you went with? You went with m'chusa kippurim. M'chusa kippurim is somebody who also was an Avatuma. Again, now he's even further down the road in terms of process and steps towards Tahara, but a Mechusa Kippurim himself is somebody who was an Avatuma. So the Gemara says, so fine. So I don't understand now, once you're telling me that Rav Yossi holds like Abba Shaul, so now the Kavachomer generating this point that Kachim is more sensitive than Truma, you didn't have to go to Mechusa Kippurim. You could have gone to Tvil Yom and you would have been fine with that. Why did he go with Mechusa Kippurim? Fine, the Gemara says, it's a fair point. It's a fair criticism. Ad Khan, that takes us now to the end of the first part of today's daf. Okay. And I admit, okay, if you are right, I did not spend enough time, explaining and going through it. I really just drew a rough sketch of the Gemara over here. If you understood, great. And I admit this is definitely one of the more harder sugyas to go through, not only because of Tuma Tahara, but also just even in the steps of the Gemara, it's a difficult piece of Gemara. Okay, but that takes us to the end of part number one. Part number one, just to summarize, not the Gemara, but just the basic points, and that is that your levels of Tuma are going to be for Chulin Hasheni, for Truma Shlishi, for Kodesh it's going to be Revi, from the Psukim themselves, Psukim really take us to Hasheni by Chulin, by Truma becoming a Shlishi, that's a Kavachomer. That we did yesterday. And then where we started the Gemara today is establishing that by Kodesh, so it's going to become a Revi. That also is going to be based on a Kavachomer. Rav Yossi is the one who introduces us to the Kavachomer. That Kodesh can become a Revi. Fine? And then the detail, which was really difficult, is what exactly is the Kavachomer that gets us from, well, there are two challenges, by the way. There was a Kavachomer that took us from Sheni to Shlishi by Truma. That was challenging because it's a Kavachomer, but a hybrid Kavachomer based on two different sources. Neither of them worked by themselves. We did a Tzad HaShava. That we did yesterday. And then the next challenge was to get from Shlishi to Revi by Kodesh. That also is another challenging Kavachomer because that Kavachomer also, we needed to know that when it comes to Kodesh, Kodesh already has an extended limit of being a Shlishi. That's a Pasuk in the Torah. And the Kavachomer now can bring us to a Revi. Okay. And the Kavachomer itself, Rabbi Yossi presented it. Rabbi Yochanan struggled with the Kavachomer. Rav Papa defended Rabbi Yossi's Kavachomer. But as you can see, the Amoraim also struggled. But again, their struggle and our struggle are not the same struggle. They understood it, and we kind of understand it. Okay. Amarav Asi Amarav. Okay, so we are on Lamed Amud Aleph. We are five lines from the top of the Amud. And now, almost the remainder of today's daf, a pylon on Rabbi Akiva. Okay, Rabbi Akiva obviously is a force to be reckoned with. In other words, he's the Baal HaMasorah, the one transmitting the Torah Shebaal Peh. We all know Rabbi Akiva has a machlokas b'chaveiro. If it's a one-on-one, halacha will side with Rabbi Akiva. If it's chaveirav, if there are others who argue with Rabbi Akiva, so then we're going to go with the majority. But it goes without saying, right? Everyone here listening, I'm sure, already understands Rabbi Akiva as a shita is a force to be reckoned with. But what the Gemara is going to point out is that even though, despite the fact that Rabbi Akiva says it when it comes to chulin, so chulin now can go and be metame from a sheni to a shlishi, and Rabbi Akiva had a drasha to arrive at that conclusion, but he's a das yachid. Okay. And now the number of Tanaim who argue with Rabbi Akiva, so that's what we're going to be doing from now until basically the rest of today's daf, a pile-on, if you will. And so I'm going to go through this quickly, meaning Baruch Hashem. There's a lot of information that's going to be thrown in our direction. Chances are you're going to get a little bit lost. I'm going to try to make this as clear as possible. However, just so that everyone understands what we're looking to accomplish right now, we're just lining up all the Tanaim who don't subscribe to the view of Rabbi Akiva, and that when it comes to Chulin, and by the way, when I say Chulin, I'm including also Maaser Sheni as well. When it comes to Chulin stops at Sheni. That's it. End of the road. Tumah does not transmit Tumah anymore to another Chulin. Sheni will not make a Shlishi Tameh in the world of Chulin. Who are the Tanaim who subscribe to this viewpoint? The list is long, and let's go. Amra Vasi Amarava Amrila Amarava Barisi Amarav Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Eliezer, Kulusirlu, Dein Sheni Osvishlishi, Bechulin. So we already just lined up who the Tanaim are, and now introduction to each of those positions. So Rabbi Meir did not, so we're going to start with the Shita Rabbi Meir. It's a Mishnah in Parah, 11th parak of Mesechta Parah, Kolaton Bias Maim Midivri Sofrim. So if you require Bias Maim Midirabanan, meaning, anything which passes Truma because of the Xeris of Beis Shammai. So there's a Mishnah in Zavim that goes through what exactly is going to render Truma Pasul. They are all Xeris Midrabanan in order to protect the sanctity of Truma. So Mitame Esa Kodesh. So what it's going to do is it will make Kodesh Ashlishi Uposos a Truma, and it will render Truma Tame. But again, we're using the word Pasul because it's the end of the road. Umut Bechulin. However, if it comes into contact with chulin, it will not affect it. And umaiser, and the same thing is true with maiser over here, referring to maiser sheni div Rabbi Meir, and that is shitas Rabbi Meir. So, in other words, anything which requires bias mayim midivrei sofrim, anything which is tamei midirabanan, is going to be treated like a sheni. And to make it simple, digestible, it's going to make truma shlishi. It's going to make kodesh a revi. Good, but in other words, but that's it. When it comes to chulin, it won't do anything. It won't affect chulin at all. You know why? Because it already is a sheni, and sheni doesn't make a shlishi by chulin. And that shita is Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim osrim b'maiser. Now the chachamim say now by maiser sheni. So this tuma derabanan, which is a sheni, is gonna disqualify maiser sheni. Okay, fine. But be that as it may, Rabbi Meir shita over here is extraordinarily clear. Sheni does not render a shlishi tame. Okay, Rabbi Yossi Hadamar. Now, as far as Shitas Rabbi Yossi is concerned, we already said it regarding the Kavachomer of Rabbi Yossi, where he learned it from Mechusa Kippurim Imisa Laisi LeRevi B'Truma V'Chamishi B'Kodesh. Meaning, if Rabbi Yossi subscribed to the idea that Sheni can make Shlishi by Chulin, so already now your starting point is Shlishi. Now your Kavachomer for Truma should go to Revi. Your Kavachomer then for Kodesh should go to Chamishi. By virtue of the fact that Rav Yossi is only extending Truma to 3 and Kodesh to 4, that means that his starting point must have been 2. Okay, so that's Shitas Rav Yossi. That one was pretty clear, I hope. And Rabbi Yoshua did not. Now, as far as Shitas Rabbi Yoshua is concerned, so we're going to go to another Mishnah. Rabbi Yoshua did not. So as far as Shitas Rabbi Yeshua is concerned, that he also disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. So for that, we have the following Mishnah. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Ochel, Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi. Just a little bit of background over here. And that is that if you eat tummy food, so Min HaTorah does not affect you. In other words, the tummy food is a derivative. It's a Vlad HaTuma. You eating the tummy food Min HaTorah doesn't do anything to you. For a person to become Tameh, you have to come into contact with an Av HaTumah. Fine. So, but meanwhile, the Chachamim made a gzera that if you eat tummy food, you're tummy. You have to eat a chatzi pras, right? That's a volume. And if you do so, so then you're going to become tummy midraban. Why did the Chachamim do that? It's really to protect the sanctity of truma and to make sure that that if you have truma in your mouth and tummy food in your mouth at the same time, the truma is going to become tummy. Okay. For our purposes right now, I'm just giving a little bit of information. Truth of the matter is that much more to discuss in terms of why they made the gzera. But anyway, they made the gzera. So it's a funny gzera. Why? Because you have to know exactly what you ate. That will determine what level of tumah you are. And on top of that, it also depends who you subscribe to. So first, the Shita Rebbe Elazar says, and I'm using this as a cliche, just to remember the Shita Rebbe Eliezer, you are what you eat. Meaning if you ate a Rishon L'tumah, you're a Rishon, Midrabanan. If you Sheni, Sheni. Shlishi, Shlishi. Okay? This is all operating Midrabanan. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Ochel, Ochel, Rishon, Ochel, Sheni, Sheni. According to Shita's Rabbi Yeshua, if you eat either Rishon or Sheni, you're a Sheni. And Shlishi, now what if you ate Shlishi? So you're a Sheni B'Kodesh, the ain't Sheni B'Truma. So you'll be a Sheni vis-a-vis Kodesh, but not regarding Truma. Now, you're eating Shlishi, and and now you're going to be a, you ate Shlishi, and now you're going to be a Sheni? B'Chulin Shanasu Ataras Truma. And specifically, we're talking about what kind of chulin are you going to be disqualifying? And that is chulin shenasu ataras truma. Meaning it's not regular chulin, but chulin in which we're going to treat it like truma. Right? In other words, we're entering into a totally new world of tumah tahara. And this idea of chulin shenasu ataras truma is basically somebody who wants to train himself, condition himself to treat truma properly. And therefore, even his chulin food is going to be treating like truma. And a discussion, another discussion. I'm going to table it for our purposes today, but just to know that that if you have chulin shenasu ataras truma, so it's going to take on the sensitivities of truma in that it's going to, if you have sheni touching it, it's going to become tummy. Okay, let's just leave it like that. Anyway, the point of all this is that the Shita of Rabbi Yoshua is telling us that if it were regular chulin, it's not going to become a shlishi. Why? Because Rabbi Yeshua disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yeshua is of the position that a sheni cannot render a shlishi tameh by chulin. Aye, so when he says that if you eat a shlishi, you're going to be a sheni betruma, so that's talking about chulin shenasa ataras truma. And it's not talking about regular chulin. So, and the Gemara makes exactly this point. Altaras Truma in, Altaras Kodesh Lo, but Alma Kasavar Ein Sheni Osa Shlishi B'Chulin. By virtue of the fact that he has to go on and explain, it's not regular Chulin, it's Chulin Shenasa Altaras Truma, meaning because if it were regular Chulin, it will not become Tame, because a Sheni doesn't make a Shlishi by regular Chulin. Rebbe Lazar, we're almost done. Almost. We have two more Shitas to go through. Rebbe Lazar Dinan. Here we have a Mishnah Taharos. Rebbe Elazar Omer Shloshtan. So when we're looking at either the three of them, three of what? Either Chulin or Truma or Kachin. So Rishon Shebekodesh v'Shebechulin v'Shebetruma Mitam Mishnayim Apostle Echad Bekodesh. Bekodesh. So Mitam Echad Apostle Echad Betruma. And Posel Echad B'chulin. Okay. Our levels that we've been discussing all morning of Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi. So according to the Shita of Rebbe Elazar, it don't matter. Love my grammar today. It don't matter what the Rishon is, what the Sheni is, what the Shlishi is. Meaning, let's say, I'm just saying this by way of illustration. Let's say my Rishon was a chulin food. Okay. It came into contact with the Sheretz. So what Rebbe Elazar is teaching us in this Mishnah Taharos is, that's a Rishon. And now, it touches another food. Don't matter what it is. Meaning, it could be a Chulin, or Truma, or Kachim, it touches it. That's a Sheni. And then it touches another food. Now here, it does matter. But in other words, but the point is that 1 to 2, it doesn't matter what it is. And then from 2 to 3, obviously that 3 either has to be Truma, or it has to be Karban. And then the 3 to 4, obviously the 3 could either be truma or carbon, but that 4 obviously has to be carbon. But the point is that 1, 2, 3, 4, the 1 and 2 doesn't matter what kind of food it is, whether it be chulin or truma or kachim. Good. That's the sheet of Rav Elazar. And now when it comes to truma, same thing, but only up to 3. And when it comes to chulin, same thing, but only up to 2. Again, the point of all this, right? Obviously, he's arguing with others, and we don't need to know right now who he's arguing with and what their other position is. But again, the point of it is just simply an illustration of when we're looking at chulin, it goes 1, 2, and that's it. Ad kan. It stops after 2. Because Rav Elazar argues with Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Eliezer. One more for today. And that is Didnan. So here's the Mishnah in Challah. Rabbi Eliezer, Amir Challah, Nitalis Minatara Latmeya. That, let's say, the dough becomes Tame. So, and I want to be Mafrish Challah. So Challah, Nitalis Minatara, Ala Tameya. So what I can do is that I could be Mafrish Challah from dough that's Tame together with dough that's Tara. Ketzad. Now, exactly how do you go about it? So here we have instruction manual, right? It's really a Mishnah, but we have an instruction manual. It's a Mishnah in Challah, second parak, in terms of how to do it, how to be Mafrish Challah. And Shtei Isos, Achas Tahor, Vachas Tamei, let's say I have 2 doughs, one's Tamei, one's Tahor. So no Tel Kedei Challah. So what you do is you're going to take off a shear, a Challah's worth of shear, Mi Isa Shelo Horma Challasa, from the dough in which challah has not yet been removed, and now between these 2 doughs, the tummy dough and the tahor dough, I'm going to put in an intermediate dough. It's going to have less than the shear of a kabetza, which makes it now unable to transmit the tumah from one dough to another. And kedelitol minamokov. And the reason why I'm doing that is because, remember, when I'm being mafresh shumar, in this case challah, so it has to be minamukaf. That which I'm being mafresh has to be proximate. There's this halacha of minamukaf, that when you do a hafrasha, that which you have to be mafresh has to be physically in proximity to that which you're being mafresh from. And because now I have these 2 doughs, one tummy, one tahor, and I want to be mafresh challah on both doughs, and I also want to satisfy the requirement of minamukaf, so I want them to be touching each other. I can't have them touching each other, because if I touch each other, the dough which is tahor is going to become tamei. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put in an intermediary, right? This small little piece of dough, it's pachos mikabetza. Pachos mikabetza means that no longer can it be mekabel tumah. Fine. And that's what I'll do. V'chachamim, as we now turn to the Amud Beis, v'chachamim osrim. And the chachamim say that it is usher. As far as why it's usher, why would the chachamim master it? Stay tuned. The Gemara is about to explain. Vitanya, and we learned in a brisa. So the intermediary dough it can in fact be the size of a beitza. Visavruaydivida. Now, before we go on. So what we have over here is the following. Now, remember, we are bringing this Mishnah in Challah because we just want to illustrate and show that according to Rabbi Eliezer, he also is of the position that Shani cannot render a Shlishi by Chulin. That's the point. That's the whole reason why we brought it. Now, the Mishnah over here is basically presenting problem with a solution. Problem. I have 2 doughs, one's Tamei, one's Tahor. I want to be Mafrish Challah. I want to be Mafrish Challah from the Tahora onto the Tameya, and so that I'm going to be able to give the Kohen Challah, which is Tahora. But I also want to satisfy the requirement of Minamukov, but I don't want the 2 doughs touching one another, because if they're touching one another, so then the Tahora dough is going to become Tamei. So what am I going to do? So I'm going to put in an intermediary dough. What is the size of that intermediary dough? So according to the Mishnah, it's Pachos Mika Beitza. And the Gemara quotes a Braisa that says it's the size of a Beitza. Okay. That's a lot of information. I know. And Visavrua, now when the Bnei Yeshiva are going on to describe the Mishnah and the Braisa, and what exactly is at the core of the debate, the Mishnah says that the intermediary dough is Pachos Mika Beitza. The Braisa says it's a full Beitza. So Idavi, Idavi Isa, Rishona, V'chulin atvulin l'chala, lo kechala damo. That, in other words, here's the information that the Mishnah didn't provide for us, so obviously it's open for now speculation. That tummy dough, what's going on with that tummy dough? So it was a Rishon. Again, the Bryce didn't say it, the Mishnah didn't say it, but that's what we'll assert. It's a Rishon. And even though it's chulin atvulin l'chala, now remember, there is chala latent inside of it, but so what? I know that sounds funny, but so what? So it's lo kechala dami myla bakamifagi. So the Gemara says, presumably now what the issue is as follows. Mar Savar, ain't sheni osa shlishi b'chulin, mar Savar sheni osa shlishi b'chulin. And now, remember, I have doughs, the doughs themselves are chulin. Now I know inside each dough is latent chala, but again, go back to my dismissal. So what? Right? That's what we're assuming right now. And now, what, the tummy dough is a Rishon. And now, that intermediary dough, does it bother me that it becomes tame? Well, it depends. If the tummy dough is a Rishon, and that means the intermediary dough is a Sheni, and the dough next to it, well, it depends. If I say Sheni can render Shlishi tame, so then we have a problem. If I say that a Sheni can't render the Shlishi tame, then we have no problem. And that now is the difference between the Brice and the Mishnah. Okay, it's a great way to explain it. But the Gemara says...
So that's a Rabbi Akiva.
Right. In other words, right. And that would be the difference between Mishnah and Brisa. Right. The Mishnah, I know this... Right. You're excellent. Meaning, according to the Mishnah is, in fact, subscribing to Rabbi Akiva. That's why the intermediary dough has to be Pachos Mika Beitza, making it impervious to Tama. And the Brisa that says it's the size of a Beitza is, in fact, not subscribing to Rabbi Akiva. So Amar of Mari Bereid Rav Kahana, Tukuli Amma Incheni Osa Shisha Bechulin. So the Gemara says, nah, you didn't explain it well, you didn't touch it up well. And Mar Savar lo kechala dame. Over here, look, because of the latent chala inside of both those, so it is now going to be given the status of chala. Chala in Truma are equal regarding Tuma Tahara, and so therefore it is just simply going to be more sensitive to Tuma because of the latent chala therein. And that's the machlokus between the Mishnah versus the Braisa. And that's why they are arguing as to whether the intermediary dough has to serve as a buffer or it doesn't bother us. That's one possible explanation. But wait, there's more. And ein sheni osa shlishi. So let's say that the latent chala inside of both those do not bother us. Meaning, go back to my comment of so what. And we're going to say the sheni will not render a shlishi by chulin. So v'hacha b'motaligram tuma l'chulin shebaritz Yisrael kamiflagi. So mar saver motaligram tuma l'chulin shebaritz Yisrael mar saver also ligram tuma l'chulin shebaritz Yisrael. And over here, it could just simply be a function of whether or not we could be garum tuma. In other words, look, can I make regular chulin food tame? So it's a machlokas. And again, this also requires much more explanation, which I'm not going to offer. I'm sorry. I'm not going to offer right now in terms of what is at the core of this machlokas. But anyway, the Gemara says that we can say that both of the Mishnah and Brisa version of the solution of having the two doughs near each other, not touching each other, having a buffering dough in the middle, and whether that buffer dough in the middle has to be a less than a kibitza, Or can it be a kibitza? There are many other ways to explain what's going on over there, but everyone can be subscribing to that a sheni does not make a shlishi by chulin. Okay, ad kan. Takes us to the end, not of the daf, but that's as far as we're going to go today. We'll pause over here. Okay, I admit today's daf was challenging. It was definitely a more difficult daf. We are formally done with Tuma Tahara. Okay, so yeah. Summary of today's daf actually is really easy because I'll just go over what the points to walk away with from today's daf, right? So much information, but the takeaway points are as follows. The ABCs of Tuma Tahara and transference of Tuma. So, when it comes to Chulin, Rishon, Sheni, and that's it, right? In other words, the food becoming Tame from wherever it becomes Tame from, right? Let's say an Avatama, Sheretz touches the food now is a Rishon. Fine. That by chulin now, that food comes into contact with another food. That second food is a sheni, and ad kan, that's it. There is a shita of Rabbi Kiva that we can go one more step, and the sheni will render another chulin food shlishi, but that's the shita of Rabbi Kiva, and the Gemara spent a lot of time today, most of today's daf, going over the number of Tanaim who disregard, who dismiss this position, Rabbi Akiva. We only see it incidentally, meaning by citing various Mishnayos throughout the world of Taharos, right? We learn more Mishnayos and Taharos today than we normally do, right? By a lot. So, but going through all those Mishnayos and Taharos, so we see incidentally that all these Tanaim are clearly not on board with Rabbi Akiva. But meanwhile, that's number one. Number two, and this goes back to yesterday's daf, is that when it comes to Truma will go one more step. Truma will become a Shlishi. So how do I know that? That's a Kavachomer, that's yesterday's daf. Kodesh will become a Revi. That also goes back to yesterday's daf, but we read it today. And that is, and that also is going to be based on a Kavachomer. Reb Yossi is the one introducing the Kavachomer. Okay, a complicated bit of Gemara where Rav Yochanan challenges the Kavachomer Rav Yossi. Rav Papa defends Rav Yossi against the challenge of Rav Yochanan. That was the beginning of today's daf. And then the remainder of today's daf, the balance of today's daf, let's collect the Tanayim who disagree with the position of Rabbi Akiva, that when it comes to Chulin, it stops at Sheni and doesn't go to Shlishi.